All right, ladies and gentlemen, the time is now 4:48. You may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending the meeting. I know there were a couple of things we talked about at the last meeting, and then there were several things that you all mentioned. And our meeting, bereavement was one, I believe, on page 19. And then Dr. Siegel, I apologize for just getting this to you, but still, it does not have the superintendent did not do the total amount for the salary schedule that he is proposing. And I know you asked for a payroll calendar that has not been board approved yet, and I don't want to give you something that has not been board approved.
But does it exist?
Yes.
So I would say it's a public record and I can have it, but have you disseminated it to anyone else yet? Because I have a copy, so isn't that interesting?
You have a copy?
I got one today.
Who did you get it from?
Does that matter?
Well, yeah. Because perhaps the individual that gave it to you might have not known that it needed board approval.
I got it from someone in the bargaining unit, so that wouldn't be their responsibility. That'd be on your admins. But anyways, it's a public record, so I think I'm entitled to it. But
it is a draft. As long as you understand it's a draft and it hasn't been board approved yet.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You can always stamp a draft, not board approved or whatever. Okay, so when is the next board meeting? No?
The next 24th. Board meeting is September 24th.
September the 24th.
So it would be another month until you would have sent, I would have gotten that, potentially.
Not unless we have any special meetings.
We have a finance special meeting.
On September 3rd, but
on
I'm
Tuesday.
Not sure, because that one is to approve the budget, it may not be allowed to have anything else afterwards, so they would have to do their stuff, close it, and then reopen a new one. But I can double check.
Okay.
Because I know there's some that they can add special stuff to, but mm-hmm. there's others that they cannot. That meeting.
So we'll check to see if we can do that.
Yeah, okay. Because if the board hasn't approved it, but are you paying people?
Well, of course we have to pay people.
Right.
We know that we always pay on the last day of the month, so to that makes sense.
Okay.
So
that, okay.
If we wouldn't pay people, then we'd have you barking at us, Mr. Siegel.
You're having me barking when you're paying people, not giving me a calendar about it, because people want to know when they're getting paid, and it's not always end of month. There's a little, we know there's flexibility on Monday or Friday if the day falls on a weekend.
Yes.
And it's not, I don't think it was strict year to year. Like, if I looked at past years and it fell on a Sunday, you have not always done it Monday or Friday. It's a bit random.
I think
don't know if they should expect it Monday, Friday, the what exactly.
I can tell you this, that what we're looking at, and this is still, hadn't been decided yet, but we're looking at always the last day of the month. And of course, long as
right.
it doesn't fall on a weekend.
So then when
the
it
working,
does.
The working day.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not the last day of the month, the last working
day
of
the
month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, what about board signed contract for previous year?
Okay, so we have GESPA's contract here. I know the one thing that you all asked about at the last meeting was bereavement.
But I'm talking about we've fallen behind on the actual duration of the contract and the years of agreement and that kind of thing. Right, because this contract expired in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going into 2025. So the 23-20, it should have been to 23-26, I think, right?
That
the
is
next
correct.
Contract.
Yes.
And so that contract, where's that contract? I guess that's the question.
Well, we don't have that contract.
Right, but GESPA ratified, and so we have the contract. I have it. You don't have a board signed, because you don't have to hold the contract. I can make edits myself, right, as long as they're correct. But we need a board signature page for that 3-year contract that doesn't exist.
So you have the contract?
No, I don't have your signatures. What I'm saying is, so this is a contract,
uh-huh.
and if we've agreed to stuff since you've produced this contract. I am perfectly within my responsibilities and should, if you're not providing it, have my own version of this with the new correct language in it.
You mean
that's completely normal.
The one for the 2020.
You have a 23-26 contract?
What I'm saying is that I have an updated contract.
Okay.
It doesn't say till 2026 because we haven't signed anything.
Right.
But we still operate with this contract, right?
Correct.
And if we have made any amendments to it, I can update the text in this contract if we have ratified that. So for example, I can add in a last page that says a $3,500 bonus for the 23-24 school
mm-hmm.
year.
That is
we
correct.
We did that and ratified that. So
yes.
I would append that like we ratified it.
Right.
The thing is we haven't ratified anything besides that because we've not negotiated any raises or anything
mm-hmm.
since the unilateral $15 an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we still have to, it's bookkeeping is my point, but we have to do it. We're missing a year of the contract. This has happened in other districts I've worked in where it has persisted for literal years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to have to hire a DEETSON to deal with it, but that's what a lot of times it ends up because it stretches on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just need to take the contract you have. I don't know if there's even any changes from 23 to 24.
There
it was just
is,
that
right?
bonus, which it says that in the email I sent. I think all we need to change
mm-hmm.
is in the totality of agreement, the year has to be incremented from 23 to 26. I think that's it. And then we all sign that, and that's the new 23 to 26 contract.
Yeah.
So I can have that. I just don't have board signatures on it.
Okay.
The point,
well,
right?
we can submit that to the board because I don't think we have changed anything
right.
in the
not
language.
For this, but
so
it, you're right. It should have been submitted when we ratified the $3,500 bonus, didn't they? Ratify? They board approved the $3,500 bonus. That's when the contract should have been approved at that time. Because we were done bargaining for the year, all we agreed to was the bonus, and that's when both parties should have progressed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not just you, we have other districts, you find out a year later, the board never even ratified, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a matter of cleaning up. This has all come to light because I think you guys have hired DEETSON for all the weird perk stuff for renewing both unions. Is he doing your stuff for that?
His company.
I think, yeah, he is, he's probably the man. And so that's what made us really be like, okay, we have to hit every little thing because, you know, we should have to begin with, but it's forcing a contract cleanup. And so this is, I think CTA has a similar problem in their contract.
Correct,
right?
That is correct.
And so they both just need to be updated to the new 3-year. That was all, and board signed.
Yeah, we're good. That's not.
Yeah, we have to upload the signature page specifically to PERC.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't exist, so I can't.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does she have an electronic copy of the 23-26?
It is the same contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that
we need a signature page.
Right. When the union ratified the $3,500, that's ratifying the next 3-year agreement as well, because that's how these agreements persist. The new 3-year agreement was that there was no changes. It's just the bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I could change the cover to this. I haven't done that and distributed it because I don't have a signature page. It's an incomplete document.
Mm-hmm.
So for GESPA, it's weird because their PERC recert was like a year ago. But take teachers,
mm-hmm.
that was only a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, when we filed, we said we do not have a current contract,
mm-hmm.
which we do. We're using it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because we don't have the signature page, I couldn't say we had it completed. And so that's where it would have been that way with GESPA. But at the time, I think, I don't even know, that was a year ago at this point.
So what moving forward, all we need to do is correct the cover and update this, submit this to the board and update the signature page.
And on the signature page, it's part C at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that says June 30th, 2023. That means it changed to 26.
Correct.
Okay. You're
going to
mark it.
I think that, and if I sent an email about this a bit ago, and that would have said if there was anything else I found that needed to be changed. Because sometimes there's other areas that say you will need to discuss bargaining on such and such date and year, and some contracts will have like 2009 because it's just lost in there and no one was paying attention for 15 years. So check that email if you could, but the main thing is that Article 25, Part C, that date needs to change. Get the board to sign the page and change the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And your salary pages as well, with showing the compression from that year, going to 15 an hour.
Signature page.
Mm-hmm. Signature page and then this document. We just need to upload that in
you
the document.
Attach it if
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm. Just like this sheet. Then mm-hmm. we'll add that to it.
And then scan it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, for what you passed out for, you said this was updated. What is updated about this? Seems similar.
This right here is updated.
I think the hours, yes.
And then some of these pages seem duplicated, like this is just food service workers, but food service workers are also on this page.
Okay, and that could be the case.
Yeah, these are two maintenance workers. This is paras and this is food service worker. It's kind of individuals. Is it correct that the salary listed here is 12-month salary for all these employees? Or is that what's been updated?
I know the para's been updated, but we had 1900 up there.
Right.
And
you know what?
Okay, so the hours. Okay, so it was 12-month hours, and now this is 10-month hours. Here now reflect what that position is. Like maintenance are 12 month, right? Maintenance workers. So their hours are 12 month, but paras are 10 month.
That is correct.
Is that the intention?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I noticed also that, so if you look at like teacher aid one.
This was the old one right here.
If you look at teacher aid one, each year increases by 5 cents an hour until 14, and then it jumps to 10 cents an hour. But the year that this occurs is different for each job. Was that intentional? Sometimes it jumps to 13, some it's at like 16 when that transitions, some doesn't have any transition in a different amount.
I can tell you that I'm not sure why the years were changed. I mean, why he separated the years, but I know he was trying to put dollars in between the number of years so that you could stretch out those individuals who start at $15 an hour and individuals who've been here for a while will make more money than someone coming in.
So I'm not sure why he decided to,
you know, at different years change it, but yeah.
So I got the list of the bargaining unit down to 215 guest foot employees. Is that correct? That seems like very few. So I looked a couple years ago, it was like 300 employees.
I think it's still about 300.
Yeah. So I don't know what, if employee types got left off or what happened, but the list I got only had 215 employees. Okay. It had like bus drivers, but I didn't cross-check everyone with the previous year to see what happened. So if that's incorrect, I need to.
I probably need to check with my specialist to find out.
When you do that, I would like a list. So I've gotten the teachers and the support staff. You can give me this other request in any format you want, where all the other employees. I just need to know what they're listed as in the district, like their position. Because if they think they're eligible to join either GESPA or GCCTA, and some of the positions, I think one was data entry operator, we were covering for years, and then from the PERC cleanup, it was decided that was a confidential position.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they were just pulled out, which I'm still, but they were pulled out. And so for that, for them, I still want to see that they're employed as that position before I say, okay, you're in that position. I can't do that right now. I just see they're not in the guest book list.
And so let me share this with you. That individual position actually is the confidential secretary as they're putting in data. Mm-hmm. So it might not say data entry, but it's the confidential secretary position.
What would the position say?
Secretary.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So would that populate the guest book roster incidentally? Because it is, because how do you distinguish, are all secretaries confidential?
If you look at their job description, it'll tell you that they're, whether or not they're confidential.
So like the assignment, because what, there's two phrases, right? It's job assignment.
Because I think we looked at that when we provided that as a part of PERT to verify that we were making sure that that job description identified them as a confidential.
You're talking about like the full job description when you hire someone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying yeah. when you export from like Focus or something or whatever system, Skyward.
It's going to say secretary.
Right. So, and are all secretaries confidential?
No.
And so if you just export secretaries, how do you know who's confidential or not?
Based on, well, I guess we know that because we know just the work you know they're the people, doing.
Right,
yeah.
So it's okay. not indicated in any way in the system.
I got you, yeah. So.
Is that probably the secretary of mentor?
Yeah, there yes. are three levels, I think. But you're not using that to distinct, because that's in the bargaining unit, and mm-hmm. those are not in the bargaining unit. Mm-hmm.
So you want a list of all employees with their assigned yeah. position. And what was the total number, Dr. Siegel, you said?
I have 215.
215. Yeah, that seems rather low.
I was thinking a lot of data entry people got pulled out all of a sudden.
Well, that would only be one day to enter at each school, so. This week.
Oh, so yeah. all our positions pretty much should mm-hmm. be filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe Nancy made a mistake in
Ms. Calhoun.
Yeah,
could have like left, because I don't know if you're selecting individual work assignments or what, because mm-hmm. if you left out a couple, that could easily be 50 employees, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if you have a flag for like GESPA employees and it populates. I don't know how the system works.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could do that. That'd be good.
Well, what it does say is, how do we, it does identify individuals who could be potential
GESPA
members.
Well,
yeah.
Members of the bargaining unit, they're mm-hmm. all members of the bargaining mm-hmm. unit, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have a way to just flag everyone in the GESPA unit.
Well, at one point we did. I'm thinking we started making the changes once the funding stopped.
The dues?
Yeah, the dues, yeah. yeah. So now that,
well, that would have, okay, so I think you're talking about the column for deductions. You would mm-hmm. pull based on deductions. Mm-hmm. But we're saying that regardless of who's getting deductions, all those people are in the GESPA bargaining unit.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
And so I don't know if there's a flag for that, though. I know you can
so.
Flag by deduction, but...
Yeah, deduction I do know, but I don't know that there's a flag for the unit.
So
yeah.
you just have to pull all the positions covered, mm-hmm. and if you miss some...
Right, yeah, make sure we go directly by the yeah. Positions here listed, yeah.
So I'm going to pass this proposal. There's no counter to the tables because when I got them was a little late, and then I was kind of confused looking at individual employees and what the placement was on the table. So is it the understanding that, well, so with this proposal, it's all you do is you look at their position and their years of experience. Are you using total years of experience or Gadsden years of experience? Because there were... I know there's multiple ways to count that, or FRS years of experience, like years in retirement. There's a lot of different options.
I'm believing that the total years of experience were utilized.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
And so then you would just, all you do is you go, how many years you been working here?
24.
So you go 24, she's teacher aide 1, 1670, and that's how everyone gets placed. Is
that
correct?
That is correct. Yes.
And so some people would get little to no raise in that scenario. Is mm-hmm. that right? Okay, so that's where I started having problems, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, you know, maybe people get something, but some people are getting very little, so I have to really dig into that piece.
It depends on the years, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are some people that, for, I don't understand the raise system before I was here, and if you've been here 20 years, you have 20 years of history of raises. What?
No, inside joke.
You've been here 20 years?
No,
I've been here for 16, and it's up until recently we're finally trying to make sense of.
Oh, right. So in agreement, it sounds like, right? It's been all over the place. So you have some people that have fewer years of experience making quite a bit more money, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to reset that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this table does that fully. So that's why I need more time, because I only have a few days. But this that I am going to pass. It is the same format as last year and the year before. So I can, since it's the same as previous years, I'll kind of just summarize. But the first piece is for each employee to receive a single paycheck each month and then have each paycheck align for these different things. I've looked at people's paychecks. I see people getting like really piecemeal for their extra work because they drove an extra couple hours and here's a $30 check. Whatever it is a lot to keep track of. People really want a single check with all of their information on it and to not be confused by that. And then we want, say again?
I said I have people in my office arguing with me that we're trying to give them a single check.
That they don't want one?
No, because they want to know their regular salary, they want to see everything.
Right, but that, no, this says put it on a different line. So this is one check, but
yes,
it will say
it
regular salary.
It's in the system. But they don't know how to read their
they don't know how to go in
stuff.
And look at the...
Because I literally just had somebody arguing about it. They're like, why am I going down to one check? I was like, because it's too much work on my staff.
Oh, so so you love this.
Yes, I do.
So I saw exactly what you're saying, where one check did have regular hours and overage hours, and that person had another check for just overage hours. So it is still a little, you know, back
it's
and forth.
Exception.
And so
that probably would have been when their staff submitted it. So when we run payroll, we have hard deadlines. And so
right.
if anything comes in after that deadline, it's going to have to be a separate.
Do you cut checks in between payrolls?
Depending on what it is.
I think in a scenario like that, if you did like the CPR training, they cut like a separate check.
Yeah, because we'll run everyone that we get turned in for that, or like hurricane shelter pay. We'll run those.
So okay.
I would like to get to where it's during payroll time and we're running everything that happened in the month.
So the second part of it is to have them all direct deposit. Are you doing a lot of paper checks these days? Because this was a very serious issue. This is the third year we presented this now.
We
but
did have
people
one person
were,
request a paper check.
Well, it says a physical check may only be provided at direct request of the employee, but then must be delivered to the work site because we had multiple members complaining they weren't told by former people here, you got to come to the district office, there'll be a paper check. A lot of support staff don't even have cars. They live far away. It was very burdensome. So if you're already doing these things in agreement with them, I would love to come back with an agreement about it, right?
Yeah, I want to definitely look at it because, I mean, flip side, then it becomes burdensome on my staff to have to go driving all over the county delivering checks.
Well, you just said you only had one check.
We had one person, yeah, so usually it's just easier for them to come up here and get it.
Well, that would depend on the person, but if it's only one person, you're not having staff driving all around town, you're delivering one check. So it's not, it's like you'd rather the employee be inconvenienced instead of the district office.
Well, I mean, either way, none of us are getting paid for it, so it's not like we're getting mileage to drive checks all over.
That's right.
And if the whole point is to get away from paper checks, so yeah. I think
right,
say that one might be situational.
Sure. Do you have any kind of school mail system here? I figure it's probably not
we
necessary.
We do, but they probably wouldn't want their paycheck in district mail. We do have district mail.
Okay. If it's in a sealed security envelope.
Yeah,
we
can do that.
Yeah, it will take a day or 2 days after the fact of when the check is printed, and you go to school mail, and you don't want that.
Yeah, there will be a delay.
There will be a delay if you go to school.
Right, and so to me, it's, again, we take counter proposals, but it's about them understanding. Because we've talked to members about, well, what do you want, because of all the things you're saying. And for years, it's been the issue of, we just want one check, direct deposited, not multiple checks, paper checks, all this stuff. And so this next piece could be interesting towards reducing the overall number of checks. So people have to be paid the actual hours worked. That's been the hot button phone calls for me coming out of Gadsden County this year so far has been, well, my hours are this, but I'm being told I need to do this and work that. I just keep telling them, you get paid for every hour you work. This is That's federal true. Law. There is no exception.
That's true.
Every district when this comes up has this exact response. So I tell them, just don't sit on anything. Don't get upset about anything. If you work the hours, tell them to pay you. If they don't, tell me we get it paid. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this mostly comes up with bus routes because the contract that says 6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. That is a minimum. If they're driving 7 hours, you have to pay them 7 hours.
Absolutely.
Of course. And so that's where, but if their route is 7 hours and has been going on for a month, 2 months, that's just their regular hours now. They don't need to keep getting paid 6 regular hours and a 1 extra hour each day. That needs to be modified to their 7-hour-a-day workers.
And then if that's the case, then I would say that we need to have communication with transportation. If this is something that's continual, and when they submit that, it's a part of the submittal of the payroll that they give. Because I definitely shared at transportation, Mr. Knight was there, you know, I tried to make clear, if you work more than that, of course, we're going to pay you that. So we would never not
pay anybody. Don't worry, the people complaining to me, and I haven't even heard that from Mr. Knight, were like, oh, Sonia Jackson made it very clear. She said, if you work, you get paid. And yeah. I said, well, listen to her. And but I saw a timesheet that I guess was going to be turned in with stuff crossed out, and I'm like, if you work those hours while I'm being taught, I was like, you worked it, you submit it. That's what we're doing.
If they worked it, they should get paid. So if it was crossed out, then the question
then
is...
Then there's a question.
Yeah.
Well, I wait until things have been submitted and processed. So that was a form yet to be submitted. So I advised, and that was it.
I know just today with, got paid today, it was some drivers who wanted to actually see what was turned into payroll, and it had certain overtime or over the 6 hours, the extra duty crossed out, and they would have never known it until they actually went in there and checked for their actual time that they put down on the payroll.
So I can say this, and maybe like I said, I might need to go to transportation and have a conversation. Because even in my office, when my employees do their overtime, my eyes hit it, their eyes hit it. We're in agreement that I approve for you to work those extra hours. We sign it, it goes to my direct supervisor, goes to the superintendent for approval. So I don't know why they're not looking at what's being submitted.
Yeah, they should have to sign off on the
verifying that's what they worked. Yeah.
And the slight difference for them compared to you all up here is that they are assigned a route, not a length of time to work.
Right.
And so it's a little different because then, I mean, I'm telling you, if the route is 6 hours, 15 minutes that day because of traffic, you get an extra 15 minutes of pay. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's correcting it because they seem to have been told previously or whatever, maybe over 30 years. I'm not saying it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
These are the hours you work. These are the hours you work. And I'm like, that is not the case. You get paid the hours you actually work.
Yeah.
So, and that's same for bus aides and bus drivers.
Yeah. And that same conversation, I think it came up too, that some folks aren't working. Their routes are not the number of hours that we're paying them for, and they're getting paid more for less hours. So,
well, but that, yeah, that's assign them bus barn related duties, right? That's on how you stop
exactly.
So,
you stop that, right?
Yeah. So just to summarize that part, number two was bus routes in particular vary substantially. Drivers and bus hours get paid for actual hours worked. But then once a semester, bus driver or bus aide can request their supervisor to reevaluate the route for accuracy of timed work.
Mm-hmm.
Then regular additional duties beyond the 4 calendar weeks must be converted to regular weekly work hours, which is kind of what I just described.
Mm-hmm.
So if after 2 months, they're like, hey, I'm just a 7-hour employee at this point, that needs to be evaluated. And if that's what it is, then now they get their regular 7 hours. I think from finance, is it correct that there is no difference to the money, the retirement benefits, everything, it's regular income, is that right? When they, if there's, because bus drivers are 6 hours by default a day, right, the 30-hour week. So if they're now doing an extra hour a day, that's a separate line on their check now. But that does that come up all the same as regular income, or is that like a supplement where it doesn't go towards retirement?
I would have to look at that. Let's see how the system calculates it.
Is it the regular hourly wage or is it time and half time?
It's regular hourly wage.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
But I do know because we were down 5 buses, we did have some longer routes that were only going to be temporary until we get the new buses in.
Okay, so that's that piece. The next one's a bereavement leave, and so here we've stricken and has exhausted all available leave so that they just have access to bereavement leave immediately if they need it. What's happening currently with bereavement leave? Do you guys ever, I can't imagine issuing bereavement days under this. So those guest employees just have no leave anymore, and then they get 2 bereavement days?
No. We provide bereavement days. They get 2. As long as they bring us a copy of the obituary or something that verifies that this is a part of their family, then there are no issues. And we have documentation where they've actually submitted.
How long have you been doing it? So you've been doing that forever, essentially?
For as long as I can remember.
That's great. So I guess we're in agreement with this because, I mean, read the language right now. It says a full-time employee who's completed the probationary period and has exhausted all available leave may apply for bereavement. So under the current contract, no one can have bereavement until they exhaust all leave days. You have formed a past practice of ignoring that, which is why it doesn't matter anymore, but I prefer that, so we'll go with that. Because yeah, I thought when I saw this, because Leon has negotiated new bereavement leave, they're up to 5 days now in Leon. So I said, oh, let me see what's going on over here, and I view this as having none. If you have to, if you worked here 20 years and have to, you know, get rid of all your sick leave. So if you're not doing that, that's great. We'll be in agreement with that.
We need to go in there.
Yeah, we probably just, if it's in there, like, we ignore it because we...
No, we get provide it.
Because it's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's like a 30-year-old
thing. Office manager, we had to...
Take that out then. Is it 2 days?
Yeah, it's 2 days.
I mean, it was 2 days, and...
Take it out.
Yeah, it was always 2 days.
Right. And teachers get it as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It's not in the teacher's contract.
That's exactly right. Teachers have 0 days of...
0 days. It's not a part of the contract. It's only for guests, but...
Okay.
But if someone in their family died, they can take the time.
They can take their time off.
But if they don't have time to dock that time, is that what you're
it's
saying?
It's regular leave. It's like personal or sick leave for teachers.
Right. It's but only in GESPA.
But
so
if
you are a salaried employee and out of sick time, that it gets deducted from your paycheck?
Mm-hmm. Unpaid? You take a day unpaid?
Yeah, unpaid. Yeah.
I thought it said she was a salaried.
Mm-mm.
And what's been helping people with
donate.
Yeah, so we'll donate.
There are people that donate to individuals, yeah, if they don't have it, yeah.
So we'll pick up the teacher's bereavement leave at the next meeting. I've got to talk to that president first. All right, so flipping over hours and working conditions. This is similar to what you proposed last time. I have changed here at 7A to $20. Because I don't understand the bifurcation of pay that was there before. Regular bus drivers get $9.50 per hour if paid from internal school accounts and general fund, but $15 by grants. So that's to say if it's from grant money, you're gonna get more, and you have to think about when this was written, right? And so you look at the ratio of $9.50 to $15, it's a lot more. So I'm just saying $20 an hour for that, regardless of the funding source.
Which one? For A?
It's 7A. So employees may be employed in addition to their regular duties to drive school buses for field trips and other extracurricular activities, provided they hold proper license. And the new language is regular bus drivers will be paid at a rate of $20 per hour. I think your proposal last week was 15, which is making everything 15.
The reason why the grants would be more is because the grants allow for that, so the grants allow
for
that.
Yeah, it allows for
that. Non-grant.
What is
funding.
The grant? Right.
It depends on the grant.
And the summer school, most of the time, is for drivers that drive during the summer, or any of the programs that's done through the Title I program. So that's why those dollars are more, because they can write that into the grant and specify that they're
sometimes
paying
the grant
more.
Tells us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it would say what, but what I would say though, that sometimes we've kind of been slack on. When we get a grant and salaries are in here, if we want to pay more or if it's a set rate, we're supposed to bring it and do a MOU. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And sometimes I think we just forget and just say, well, this is how we did it. We've always done it. And so we can get back on track with that. If it's within a grant, and then we need to bring it and have a MOU done.
The rule is usually like if a penny is going to go into a person's pocket in the bargaining unit, it has to be negotiated even from grants. Mm-hmm. And I know with a lot of these grants, it's like a gift from heaven is how a lot of districts do it. Like, we took the time to write these, we're giving y'all money, I don't want to hear your bargaining BS, just take it and run, right? But it's not like that, and the example I'll give is Wakulla goes nuts on these grants. And so they've had one for a few years now, which is called, I forget, but it's tutoring, after school tutoring, $45 an hour. How am I going to bargain up something that's $45 an hour with 45 minutes teaching, 15 minutes planning? But we still bargained into that, and they were grateful, because the problem with grants is it's very specific, right. And if it's not fulfilled, you get nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we said, well, if there's an agreement at the school to tutor kids on a Saturday morning, which you could do, mm-hmm. and a teacher drives from MedArt over to Crawfordville, and the kid doesn't come, that teacher will get nothing. And they're like, that's correct. And I was like, well, from general fund, give them $25 for mm-hmm. gas. And they were like, that's a good idea. And they paid out a few $1,000 to teachers that year who were super grateful. So that's where it's like, it was helpful to come to us because mm-hmm. we had an interesting idea to kind of help, and it didn't even cost much. And so I think even, we appreciate the gifts from heaven, but they can be even further enriched.
You want more.
Not we want more, we want security. And so where are we at now? So compensation, I'll present a pay table as a counter proposal in the future. We need to work on clarifying these position titles and how people are being placed, like we just did a little bit with the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
That's very confusing. We have to come up with some.
I will definitely make sure we identify the positions and then know exactly where they fall, so to make it very clear.
Right. We need rank and file employees to be able to just take the table and boop, boop, and find themselves, mm-hmm. and that's it, right?
Sure. Okay.
Raises are retroactive to the first day of this year, and be its own direct deposit, and then see a one-time bonus of $2,500. How's your ESSER money doing? Still got some? Do you feel like you're in Brewster's Millions yet? You got that. That's
wow, amazing. You just told your age. You told your age.
That's what it should have been. That's all I do is put out fires. And yeah. You can tell them that we hope so.
Well,
let me tell you, Skyward has not been updated, so I am not sure where we stand on a lot of areas. So we are trying to work on that, but then we keep uncovering other areas that were not handled correctly. So we're getting some help, but it doesn't start till next week.
So, just so people understand, so when we go in and a new person comes in and they collaborate with either PACE or another district and they say no problem, we can do it this way, but then something that allows you to do what you're supposed to do hasn't been done for several years, that means they have to go back and do the groundwork. Just so I'm just saying this so people understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to, if I'm not misspeaking, put everything in Skyward Finance like it's supposed to be placed in there and follow the best practices that our peers and our support people are recommending. And that takes time. It would be easier, at least on the front end, to ignore all of that. But on the back end, we'd have to pay, either with the auditors or not having, being able to pull reports like we should be able to pull for not just you guys, but for the board.
Mm-hmm.
the state?
That's accurate. I mean, we could do reports. I say we could do reports, but it's doo-doo.
Okay. Yeah, but 215 employees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need to just do it right, and that takes time. So it's going to be painful for all of us, and I don't think we mind people asking where's this information, because it just lights a fire under us to get it done.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But we want to get past the just, let's just give them something and see if they'll buy this. That didn't help anybody. And I'm not just talking about you guys, whether it's the board, whether it's auditors coming in. We just need to get our crap together. So I said, don't put that in the mail.
It's actually being recorded, Doc.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I forgot.
Okay.
The first step is acknowledging we have a problem.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of the MOU. I think we went through questions as we went through it. It sounds like you're actually in agreement with quite a lot of it and potentially doing a lot of it already. So that's.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say no, we're doing it already. Agree to it. Right? Okay.
No, a lot of it we are. We just need to
look at it.
Make the changes wherever needed. Yeah.
All right, that's it for me today. I need the updated digits Excel version of this table and the costed out amount. So.
With the total amount.
Yeah.
Total amount. Okay.
So does this have to go before the board? These changes that were made.
Yes, ma'am.
Does it say?
They'll have an executive session and discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, for this salary chart, this is what you all are proposing.
Yep. So we'll talk about it.
I just want to know from y'all's standpoint, the board approved this?
No, they have not approved it.
They have not approved it. Has it gone before the board?
No. We have to do an executive session.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all just kind of cleaned up the.
Mm-hmm.
So the approval aside, the board hasn't seen this yet. Is that okay? So it is a superintendent's proposal.
Yes. Anyone have something else? We don't have anything else.
All right.
Next meeting.
Next meeting. Dr. Jackson's was canceled, so you don't have anything.
So you're going to have an executive session on the 24th? Is that the plan?
That's a regular board meeting.
Do you not do executive sessions surrounding the board meetings?
We do. We do, but it would have to be approved that it's going to be done after the board meeting, so the superintendent will set that up. There's a possibility, I guess, depending on, we could do it on this special meeting that's coming up.
Yeah. What was that?
On the 3rd.
On the 3rd
at 6 o'clock.
September.
Mm-hmm. That's the financial, yeah.
It's the special board meeting to adopt the budget.
This suit could ask for an executive session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking I want to give you a pay table counter proposal, then you can bring it to the board. I don't want to have that meeting like 3 days after the board meeting, and we have to wait another month for an executive session. Okay. So that's why I'm like, when will your executive sessions be? Because if we do something the week of September 16th to the 20th, and then you have an executive session the 24th after the board meeting, or the next week, I'm just trying to understand when the executive sessions would be.
Most of them are always at the board meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's a special meeting, and
right.
Yeah. But I'm not sure if that would even be approved on the 3rd, but mm-hmm. definitely the board meeting. After the board meeting.
If what will be approved on the 3rd?
It just couldn't be, right, I don't think it could be at the
yeah.
budget hearing. It would right. just have to close and then
right.
open the session. So since that kind of close, if the 3rd is kind of close, then we need to move closer to the regular board meeting. You know, have our meeting before the regular board meeting.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Information
yeah.
in and
yeah.
then y'all mm-hmm. could take it to the executive board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your budget, That's a public, the public meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that's why you have to, it's not executive session at all.
No, mm-hmm. no. If it was, it would be after that
what
meeting.
What time did you say? 4:30, 4 o'clock?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
6.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So what about like Wednesday the 18th?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. September the 18th at 4:30. That's good for you all?
That's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 18th, 4:30. I will send out an invite. Okay. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 5:32.